according to H.G. Wells. The space highways held two-way traffic. Not only could men from Earth go to other planets and moons, but men from other planets could come to Earth. The hero of his book, The War of the Worlds, reports that towards the end of the 19th century, several newspapers in England carried small accounts of the discovery of a mass of flaming gas, chiefly hydrogen, originating on the planet Mars and moving with enormous speed towards the Earth. And then came the night of the first falling star. It was seen rushing eastward, a line of flame high in the atmosphere. And the next morning, a man who'd seen the shooting star went out to look for it. He found in a sand pit what he thought was a fallen meteorite. But as he observed it, he saw that it was a cylinder with neither the shape nor the appearance of a meteorite. And then he perceived that very slowly the top of the thing was being unscrewed. The news about the fallen cylinder spread rapidly. Crowd gathered. Just as I arrived, the lid of the cylinder fell upon the gravel with a ringing concussion. I watched as something stirred within the shadow of the opening. Then something resembling a gray snake coiled up and wriggled in the air toward me. I stood petrified as more of the tentacles emerged. A big grayish bulk was rising slowly and painfully out of the cylinder. In a moment, the monster toppled over the brim and fell into the pit with a thud. And then another monster appeared in the opening. A small group of men advanced. One waved a white flag. There'd been a hasty consultation, and it was decided to try communicating with the Martians. But there was a sudden flash of light from the pit, accompanied by a faint hissing sound. Blinding flashes of light struck at the people in the surrounding landscape. All along the curving line beyond the sand pit, the dark ground smoked and crackled. The heat ray passed and spared me. With an effort, I turned and I ran through the grass. I stumbled home and told my wife what had happened. "There's one good thing," I said. "They may keep the pit and kill the people who come near them, but they can't get out of it. On the surface of the Earth, a Martian weighs three times what he weighs on Mars. Why, he can hardly move." But I'd overlooked one thing. The Martians possessed such mechanical intelligence that they were able to overcome the problem of gravity. Back at the sand pit, they worked in the machines they were making ready. That night, soldiers surrounded the sand pit. And the following evening, as I was having tea with my wife, we heard a muffled detonation and a gust of firing. Then a violent rattling crash quite close to us shook the ground. We rushed out onto the lawn and saw the tops of the trees near us burst into smoky red flames. Our chimney cracked as if a shot had hit it. "What is it?" my wife asked. "The war with the Martians has begun," I said. "Come on, let's get out of here." In a borrowed cart, I took my wife to some relatives at Leatherhead. Then I left to bring the vehicle back. The night was dark. A storm threatened. I heard midnight pealing from a church behind me. Then came a crash of thunder. My horse went clattering along the lightning, crackled around us. A thick rain smote gustily at my face as I drove. Soon my attention was arrested by something that was moving rapidly down the opposite slope. It was a monstrous tripod, a walking engine of glittering metal, striding towards the heather, smashing aside the pine trees in its path. The trees ahead of me were snapped off, and another monstrous machine appeared, rushing, it seemed, headlong towards me. I wrenched the horse's head to the right and the cart heeled over. The colossal mechanism went striding by and passed uphill. I managed to elude the monsters and arrived exhausted at my home. I was now able to think clearly. I concluded that the monstrous mechanisms were fighting machines controlled by Martians in the heads. I compared the things to human machines and asked myself how strange a steam engine must seem to an intelligent lower animal. Then, as I watched, the metallic giants turned and marched off in the direction of London. More cylinders full of Martians fell on England. I hid in the ruins of a deserted house, dreading each moment as it came. I felt that I was no longer a master, but an animal among animals under the Martian heel. With us it would be as with other animals. To lurk and to watch, to run and to hide. The empire of man had passed away. My younger brother, who was there, told me what had happened in London when the Martians had come. In a few moments, it had become a place of despair and confusion. My brother headed for the coast. There he saw a battle between a Martian machine and a torpedo ram. As the Martian closed in, the torpedo ram fired. At the same moment, the Martian raised its heat ray and aimed it directly at the torpedo ram. With a violent thud and a blinding flash, its decks and funnels leaped upward. The last thing my brother saw as he sped away in a steamboat was the Martian machine examining the wreckage of its victim. After a time, I left the house I was hiding in. Down the road, I find pitiful signs of panic. Panic that had gripped the countryside when the Martians had come. Patches of ground exhibited the devastation of a cyclone. I moved on to London. All about me, there was a terrible stillness. I was already in the city when I heard it. A weird howling sound. I headed north, hoping to locate this remote wailing. As I walked about, the howling suddenly ceased. Far away, I saw the hoods of the Martian machines that had been the source of the strange sound. I recklessly ran towards the monsters. I came upon a scene I'll never forget. The Martians were dead! After all of man's devices had failed, the Martians had been slain by the humblest things that God in his wisdom had put on the earth. They'd been slain by disease, bacteria. Disease and bacteria against their systems, systems that were totally unprepared, for there are no bacteria on Mars. As soon as the invaders arrived on Earth, our microscopic allies began to work their overthrow. These disease germs have taken toll of humanity since the beginning of time. But by virtue of this and of them, we've developed resisting power that the Martians do not have. By the toll of a billion deaths, man has bought and paid for his birthright on this earth. For men neither live nor die in vain.